Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I got to tell you guys, I'm really excited about the Eagles in the Super Bowl. I mean, 12 more days, got a long way still to go, but we'll get there.
And I like the having the time to be excited about it and revel in it and all that, you know?
I know. Now, you know, James, we could use, you know, one of our teams to close the deal.
Yes.
Because it hasn't been.
Absolutely, Joe.
All right, let me try to do this off the top of my head. Top of my head, since the Sixers won in 83, getting to the finals, closing the deal or not, I'm going to try to go in sequential order off the top of my head. Here we go. So after the Sixers won May 31st, 1983, here's what's happened in the finals. October of 83, Phillies lost. 85, Flyers lost. 87, Flyers lost. 93, the Phillies lost. 97, the Flyers lost. 2001, the Sixers lost. Okay. I mean, these are all finals, all
right? This is not a pep talk,
right,
Joe.
2004, the Eagles lost. 2008, the Phillies won.
Yes.
2010, the Flyers lost.
Nine, we lost, too.
Oh, nine. Phillies losing nine. Flyers losing 10. Eagles winning 17.
Eagles losing 22. Phillies losing 22.
That's right. Eagles losing 22.
It's a hell of a lot more losses than wins.
It's really incredible, right? Ree, what's your reaction when you hear that?
You're literally depressing me right now. I thought this was going to be we're still celebrating.
Listen, Ree, you remember the Kitty City commercials, remember? And the kangaroo would jump.
Oh, turn that frown upside down?
Yeah, it would jump on the frown, and then the frown would be upside down.
What point are you jumping on the frown and turning it upside down?
The rest of the week. Yeah.
You know what it really does, though? It does, like, and we already know it because of this, but it just hammers home, like, how you really have to take advantage of the opportunities.
I agree.
You know, because you don't know when you're going to get back. The fact they're back 2 and 3 years is a miracle for Philadelphia.
And I would say most of the teams we just referenced, other than 93 Phils, 0-1 Sixers, 87 Flyers. There's kind of a frown, not 2010 Flyers, but like you think about the last 5 minutes of the Super Bowl in 04.
Mm-hmm.
You think about the 22 game with the Eagles. You know.
Oh, I have never forgotten the Cardinals series with Roy Halladay giving up one run.
Well, that's a whole that's earlier in the playoffs.
I mean, like 22.
That's right.
The Astros, the game 7-0. Oh, right. We're gonna win.
I'm not gonna avoid enjoying this next 12 days, but I don't think chances are good that this is the last time we have an opportunity to do this. I think that the youth combined with
Howie's
the organization.
A big one. Yeah, I agree with that.
Howie heading things up. I think it's likely. You know, we're two out of the last three.
Yeah.
Who's to say that that's not a familiar concept moving forward?
Could be. The new norm now. This time.
New norm now. Yeah. Listen, John, I like your point.
There are so many parallels. My gosh, that I think about Chris Jones and Jalen Carter.
Yep.
I think about the McDuffie guy, and they. I think the Chiefs had a rookie cornerback. The last time we played him in the Super Bowl,
McDuffie was a rookie.
Rookie
when they
free
him, yeah.
safety, rookie cornerback who was a seventh rounder, who's
the
also
linebacker,
starting
Nick Bolton
now
was
for
a rookie
them.
Then.
Bolton rookie for them also. Yes, young defenders in critical locations on that defense, holding it all together as the glue, yeah. the cheap glue. That's part of what we're doing so well.
I agree.
Howie has everything to do with that.
Well, I'll tell you one more thing, then we'll get right back to the phones. I was thinking about this last night, and obviously over, it's almost 25 years for me now in sports radio in the area. I think maybe the worst call I ever had, and I was really thinking about this, I think maybe the worst call, opinion-wise, I've ever had is after 2020 calling for Howie to be fired by the Eagles. Most people did. I did. I didn't get there easily. You know, because I a lot of people were saying by mid-year, like, all right, Howie's got to go. I'm like, well, hold on a second here. But at the end of the year, it's like, you got to make a call. End of the year. If you're Jeffrey Lurie, are you keeping him or not? And I said, dump him. And looking back on that, that was really foolish because it was just one bad year. And he really had put something incredible together, 16 into 17. And then 18 and 19, they made the playoffs again. And he was still at a great age. You know, like, it was looking back on it, that might be my worst opinion ever. And thank God they didn't fire him.
I bet we could find more.
You know what? There's only three or four ever,
three or four
that are bad, and there's only one Whopper.
And here's what I will say, though. Like, you know, people love to go, oh, you know, you had them. The point about sports and sports radio, like why it was developed, I think, in back in the day, is it's the consumer complaint department of sports.
Sure.
And those
or celebration.
Or celebration.
But normally more complaints.
But yeah, but I mean, but those opinions change every day.
Of course they
could go from within 24 hours. It's just, you know, it's why it's a multi-billion dollar or, you know, the NFL, because you obsess on every single moment. You know, everything matters. And it's just like, we don't do retrospective shows.
So Reed, you hold the caller that said earlier in the week, and he was just joking, holding Angelo responsible for only two titles.
Well, he was saying, because we lost last night. Well, he was here in 2017.
No,
but
it was just a funny call.
But no, listen, we spent many years here doing the show with, I mean, the Phillies had 11 years?
Look, here's what I'll...
Going to the playoffs?
Here's what I'll say. One thing that's very clear, I think, to all of us, leadership matters. And if you hire the right people to run an organization, you got a pretty good chance to be pretty darn good. You might not win a title, but, you know, you hire Larry Brown, it's a lot better than hiring Doug Moe. All right? So, you know, hire the right people, let them do their jobs.
That was the first Sixers coach covered.
Doug?
Yes.
It was astounding.
Literally 2 days out of college.
I know.
And I looked at that guy, and I looked at people around me, and I go, are they kidding me?
Yeah, it was astounding. And there were
from
a couple whoppers.
From day one.
Well, and I'll give you one more. Eddie Jordan, who had, you know, solid track record before getting here. But I remember they had media members out to see a Sixers, I don't know, it was like a little get-together. Media members and Sixers, I think the day before training camp. And I remember he was describing the Princeton offense and how it was going to work. And if you remember what the Sacramento Kings would do, they'd pass the ball to Vlade Divac or Chris Webber, who were two of the great passing big men of all time. And so, like, the ball would go to them, and then they would make a decision, and guys would be cutting, and they were good, smart players that knew how to pass. And Eddie Jordan's describing how the play's going to start with the ball being given to Samuel Dalembert, and then, like, the play develops. And Samuel Dalembert makes the decision. And I'm like, you're telling me your offense is predicated on Samuel Dalembert reading the defense and making the decision? You
can't. Not going to work.
Anyway. Hire the right people, and obviously the Eagles, for the most part, have. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Dave in Chester. What's going on, Dave?
Good morning, man. So Jordan Davis, for the first 2-3 years of his career here, we've been really, really concerned about his attrition and his ability to complete a season. Last year, with him and Jalen Carter both falling off, you know, towards the end of the regular season, could his lack of snaps, you know, leading up in the last 7 or 8 weeks and even here in the playoffs, be to try to preserve him so we can see that power and that explosiveness we've seen.
I don't buy that.
I can't imagine.
No.
If he's good enough and great enough, you'd want to use him.
Yeah,
I would think.
He's a part-time player. And
isn't it possible, though, the point being that for those 13 snaps, he's much better on those 13 snaps rather than the 25 he might, whatever, you know?
And it could also have a lot to do with the fact that the Commanders were in a trail position for most
of the
game.
That's another good point, too.
So we were out of our base defense.
That's a great point.
And our base defense became the nickel 42 because it's a little more versatile against the pass, and we knew that Jaden Daniels was going to try to pass to bring them back.
Yep. Very true. Very true. Yep.
Okay, I was just thinking, you know, because, you know, like the last year specifically, he came in to camp out of shape. Yes. I was just wondering if maybe the coaching staff, you know, seen it as maybe an issue later in the season, and as a result,
look, Dave, I'll give you a correlation to the Super Bowl last time the Eagles played, and this kind of flew a little under the radar. Jordan Davis was a rookie in that game in February of 23. I thought he stunk in the game, and I will go as far as to say if he had played better, I think the Eagles might have won the Super Bowl. I mean, a lot of what the Chiefs did were the Pacheco runs, and I thought Jordan Davis, I'm just being candid, I thought he really hurt them in the game. So it's an opportunity for him to have a redemptive moment, and I hope he plays a lot better, and I think he will play better because I think he has developed, but he is still, you know, for the most part, a situational part-time player.
I'm thinking back to that game. For whatever reason, I have this impression of him getting blown off the ball and Pacheco running right where he'd just gotten blown off the ball. Yeah. Maybe it was just one play that happened on, but that is the way I remember that Super Bowl.
Well, and the killer,
a lot of the yardage was because he was tired
and a killer play. Now, I don't remember if Jordan Davis was on the field or not, but that fourth quarter final drive scramble by Mahomes right up the middle,
and that might be the worst of all.
Just a backbreaker. All right, Dave, give me an answer. Who or what got
a
second chance?
He was 10 yards off the ball. Jordan Davis?
Yeah.
He was
on the field for that?
I think so.
I thought he was.
He was pushed so far off the screen.
And Mahomes went right up the middle.
Yeah.
All right, Dave, who or what got a second chance?
I got a second chance, but real quick, I just want us to give some love to CJ GJ. He's the one person that came in this year that is unheralded. We ain't speaking about him because of everybody else.
Well, he's good and he's fiery. He's a good player. All right, second chance. Who do you got, Dave?
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. That's a good answer right there. Oh, man, who did I see him in his speech? He was thanking someone for standing by him. Can't remember, but it was very poignant.
Too bad
one time.
You think that Iron Man is a waste of a movie and a concept.
Well,
really, really good.
I like to call it the Iron Man just to annoy you.
You don't like Iron Man?
No, and the real superhero is coming back this summer. I'm sure you guys have seen the commercials.
Do you know the
Superman's coming back?
You know the guy who's playing him, David Cornsweet, is a Philadelphia guy.
Nice. Is that the guy Devin knows?
I don't know if she knows him or not.
I saw a post from Devin recently where she's friends with someone who
he's like a Philly guy. He's like from Philadelphia.
That's probably the one then.
Yeah, David Cornsweet is his name. He's about to be very famous.
We'll ask her tomorrow.
I've never heard that last name. But that's I saw the preview.
Looks good, right?
It looks Superman.
Yeah, he was in Twisters this past summer. Okay. If anyone saw Twisters, he was in that.
Not.
All right, speaking of Devin, let's listen to her talking to Landon Dickerson on the field right after the game about the injury, but also just a lot of emotion from Dickerson. Here it was the other day.
Landon, you started this game at center and then left a bit early. Can you take me through how you're feeling, how your knee is feeling?
I'm feeling great. We just won an NFC championship out in the Super Bowl, so, I mean, don't really matter what physically, I feel like we won and we're on to the Super Bowl, baby.
All right, so, you know, very obviously in the moment and happy that they had won. We'll see, but it's good to hear Elliott say, you know, a few minutes back to us, he expects Dickerson to play in the game. But effectiveness is another part, and hopefully it can be like...
He was not effective as our center
that's tough, man.
First half. He was tentative.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At times, he was clearly compromised with the injury, and there were, you know, for
plus he's playing a different position. That's tough.
Yeah, he looked out of place. The combo concept where he and the guard need to be blocking a guy on the way to, you know, working your way up to the next level. It wasn't always clean. Some of the stunts where you have to work with the guy next to you, you know, your guy goes away. Someone has to be coming back. Mm-hmm. You have to be alert for that. There were times where the pressure was his fault, where the missed block on Saquon's touchdown, where he bounced that thing. He bounced it because Landon's man was unblocked. Yeah,
interesting. All right. Well, look, we'll see. Obviously, Juergens or Dickerson, who's the center and who's the guard and all that stuff. By the way, no Sirianni today on our program. I'd actually meant to say this earlier. I apologize for not. Should have said it at 8:40. When we typically have Nick on the program, not today. Super Bowl week-ish, meaning the week before the week. Different schedule for the Eagles than normal. My expectation is Nick Sirianni will probably join us tomorrow. We don't have that confirmed yet, but when we know, we'll let you know. And I would imagine sometime tomorrow, probably on the show. Let's get to Kurt Marlton. Kurt, good morning.
We are going to the Big Easy, baby.
You know it. You know it.
You sound like Jordan Mailata laughing his way down the field right now.
That was pretty amazing. This game could be summed up with one of my favorite lines from one of my favorite movies. And then he taught these men of will what will really is. Verbal Kin, a.k.a.
Yeah.
Kaiser Soze.
Yeah, it's a great line. And yeah, the Eagles, but here's the other thing. It wasn't just will. The Eagles also skilled them. Washington wasn't that good. They really weren't. They weren't that good.
But, you know, one of those canards when it comes to football, most often, you know, taking what the defense gives you. But it's also about everything. It's about offense, too. The Eagles weren't worried about what Washington was or wasn't giving them. They knew what they wanted, and they took it from the very first play on offense. Washington was geared up to stop the run. Eagles didn't care. They were going to run the football. They were going to do what they did. At no point do I really believe that they were never reactive. They were always proactive.
And they were no longer adherent. They were no longer adhering to the idea like, hey, if they have extra guys in the box, we're going to get out of that play. I like the fact that they were running it, calling runs and keeping them on and leaving guys. You know, Saquon is so good that you leave guys and he runs right past them or over them or breaks their tackle and it doesn't matter. And I appreciated that it felt like we as a team, we were calling plays and leaving them on a little bit more. I mean, we know that Jalen's getting in the right play at the right time when we see him adjusting the play at the line of scrimmage. But just the sheer number of runs when we are outnumbered in the box, it leads me to believe that we just don't even care anymore about those numbers specifically because we know that our blockers, including the wide receivers, are so dominant.
Well, I agree with
AJ,
that, but no.
As a blocker,
no, he's
awesome.
He's a beast, but I also think a lot of it does come back to just Saquon being Saquon because the bottom line is
sure.
That first run, once he got around the edge, which is a skill not every athlete has with regularity to get around the edge as a running back, but once he did, then he still should have been tackled by one of those
two
defenders.
He's incredible in the open
field. He made those guys look like fools.
Yeah.
You know, and So,
and that's what they tell every back. You're going to have a guy or two. We can't block them all. We can cover as many up as possible. But Saquon, it doesn't matter. If there's two unblocked, he still has a chance.
Yeah, it's really amazing. All right, Kurt, who or what got a second chance?
This is a guy that spent his entire life the epitome of evil, walking horror. And in the end, he got that second chance, and he maxed it out. Darth Vader.
Darth Vader. Well, you can make a case it's a third chance.
Man.
Right? Isn't that a third chance at the end?
Yeah. That multiple chances.
I don't like that one.
Well, I mean, he did have a second chance at good when you look at it that way. Like, the second chance
was
the evil chance, and then the third chance was the second chance at being a good guy.
Yeah, except Padme was also trying to convince him to be good, and it didn't work. I don't know. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Chevrolet remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question. Do you think Brandon Graham will play in Super Bowl 59? Yes or no? John, how do you think people voted today?
I'm going to say everyone wants it to be, so that'll affect things, bump things up a little bit. 82% say he's going to play.
This poll's a little lower than I would have thought. 63% think he will play.
Why so conservative?
Well, I mean, they've been, you know,
he's telling us
pretty coy about it.
He feels very confident.
Well, no, he didn't tell us he feels very confident. He was telling us that he doesn't know, but that he's certainly going to try to prepare to, and he'll have to see how the body reacts the next.
So you're saying
days.
There's a shot.
Look,
that's what
he
said, basically. He didn't think he would have a chance.
I think he said more than that.
I thought he said he felt confident.
I didn't use the word confident, but I think the way that he speaks with, I'll call it positivity, upbeatness, that's the word I'm looking
Optimism.
For. Optimism. Yeah, that tells me it's likely. All right, let's get to, let's go to Rich in Vineland. Hi, Rich.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Super.
Going well, man.
Good, good. Hey, I was at the game Sunday, and let me tell you, atmosphere was just, it was just outstanding. I mean, when Saquon, well, first of all, Washington comes down, going on fourth down two times. They keep driving. Finally, we stop them for the field goal. We get the ball. Saquon breaks that run, 60 yards, TD. And I turn around two rows back. There's this Washington fan. All of a sudden, he just puts his head down. I said, dude, we got gold. We got gold with this guy. And he's like, oh, you know, the game's not over. I said, yeah, I know the game's not over. But that was the start of that game. And they didn't look back. You know, the feeling I got in that fourth quarter, we were still only up by 11. And I'm thinking, you know, is this possible? Is this possible? Are we going to go to the Super Bowl again? And then that was it. We just turned it around. And you know, the fumbles, another score, Shipley, you know, breaking that run, and then he runs out of gas, and I'm looking at that, and he just holds on to the ball for dear life, making sure he's not going to fumble it. But that was it. I mean, it ended up being that way.
Look, it was awesome. It was glorious, Rich, is what it was. All right, Rich, give me an answer. Who or what got a second chance?
Okay, so this has got to be. I mean, this is all about Philly. You go to the games, you hear the hype. Rocky got that second chance, and he came back and won.
Rocky, too. That's not a bad call right there, man. I mean, he does get that chance for the fight.
It's not just two. Does that matter?
Well,
I mean, he got many chances.
Yeah, but I guess he's setting
against
Apollo.
It feels like I would like it to be a little more exact with the number of chances. Yeah.
I mean, the wildest thing is that he got the first chance in the first place. I mean, insanity.
All right, Seltzer, here we go. Can any of you three name who Apollo was supposed to fight before he got injured?
No. At a certain point in my life, I could have, but it's been too long.
So I don't know the exact pronunciation of the first name, but I believe it is Max Lee Green.
That's a good pull
and
by
I think
you.
That guy breaks his hand or something, and then Apollo's flipping through the book and sees the Italian Stallion.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam
on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.